Welcome. So glad you guys are here this morning. We do have people who are in the room. We've been doing this so far by invitation, and we're going to move into a new plan, a new system coming up this fall. So if you are local and if you are feeling comfortable gathering and that's something that you would want to do, we're doing it as safely as we can on a small scale. So watch for announcements about how that's going to happen. So for the people in the room right now, can I get a hello?
Hello.
Okay. All right. Good. And the room is different today. We have had a crew come in yesterday. Now, our demo crews up to this point have been relatively small, a handful of people. Yesterday we had, I don't know how many, almost a dozen. Some of the people who are in here right now were here yesterday, and we've taken out different walls. We've done painting. The whole ceiling is a drop ceiling, and all the tiles and insulation are gone. We filled a huge dumpster yesterday, so I'm grateful to that team for coming out and helping that happen. If you want to be a part of seeing the progress happen at our office and ministry center, on Saturday there is going to be a landscaping day. So watch on our Facebook page for the Facebook, just a second, I got to think about so many Facebook things. Event, Facebook event, and sign up for that event and be a part of what's going on here. If this is your first time tuning into New Day, or you've been checking things out for a while, listening to the teaching for a while, catching up with things, and you've never said, I'm new to New Day, there's going to be something that comes up in the chat where you can just hit like on that. And it's a huge encouragement to me if you let me know that you were here. Otherwise, I don't know. I don't know who we're reaching and what effect God's word might be having on your life. So I'd love if you'd share that. Everybody who's tuning in from home, we're so glad you're here. There's also a link to online giving. We're not passing a basket in here today. So if you want to do an offering, all of that is being done online. So if you're watching on the chat, you can go to the link. If you need to get to that some other time, you can find all kinds of resources at newdaywi.com. This morning, the teaching is a continuation of last week, where the question was, who are you? Who are you? And I want to take a deeper dive into this question, partly because I know that a lot of kids are going back to school. And when I think about school, there are so many great things that happen. My kids had wonderful opportunities in the public school system in this area. I know we've got kids who are in private school systems. We got kids who are homeschooled. It's back to school time. And although there are a lot of wonderful things about going back to school, there are certainly limitations as well. So for instance, schools teach science, which is wonderful. It helps us understand the world around us, the processes around us. My dad, who is here right now, was a science teacher. I grew up in a science teacher's home and has made his profession as a chemist for many decades. Many, many decades. He hasn't retired yet, but he's close. So I grew up appreciating science. Science has its limitations, though. Science is not designed to answer questions about who you are, why you are, what you are supposed to do with your life. What is your purpose? Science can measure and observe and repeat processes in the natural world. And then there are all kinds of questions about what is beyond that. What is beyond the natural world? If we limit ourselves to what science tells us about who we are, we find ourselves as being super insignificant. And This morning, I was just so excited to have Mike come in with your two daughters, and we reminisced about the days when we used to be able to hang out at coffee shops, you know, and we'd see each other, and he'd come in with his daughters and have a grab a treat on their way to school. And I'm thinking about the two of you as I'm planning this message, and I'm thinking about how you are so valuable, you are so wonderful. My own kids are here. We've got Zeke here. We've got the Volkers with their kids here. We all have people who we've raised, and don't we want them to know how beautiful, how treasured they are? And yet if we just limit ourselves to science, they are super insignificant, and so are you. I really appreciate this quote. When we think about the scope of time and space, it's really difficult to express how insignificant we are. Stephen Hawking gave it a shot, and I mean, he's way too smart for me. I'm out of my depth, but this I could understand. He said, the human race, all of us together, the human race is just a chemical scum on a moderate-sized planet orbiting around a very average star in the outer suburb of one among 100 billion galaxies. We are so insignificant that I can't believe the whole universe exists for our benefit. That would be like saying you would disappear if I closed my eyes. The human race is essentially a chemical scum in a massive universe. That's the whole human race. Now, this is from a scientific perspective, and he's right. He's right. Now, where I would go in this discussion, were I to have the opportunity, is I would not assert that the entire universe is created for our benefit, for the benefit of human beings. I don't think human beings are supreme. I think the universe is created for the glory of God, of Almighty God. It's not about us. It's not about human beings. It's all there for the glory of God. And in that case, the universe couldn't be big enough. It's created to express the glory of God. And then within that expression of God's glory, although it's not there for our benefit, we have a unique position within that creation. There's something special about humanity. There's something that makes us more than chemical scum. But imagine if that's all you learned, if that's all you knew, if people were telling you, no, you're valuable, you have a purpose, but they couldn't explain why. How do I have a purpose? Because they were limited by only talking about science. Now, those are the kinds of limitations that I'm talking about, that we need to be so careful. We need to be so purposeful about expressing to each other that there's more than just the chemical scum. Now, here's something the Apostle Paul said that I think is helpful. In a letter to Christians in Colossae, Colossians chapter 1, starting in verse 15, he talks about the supremacy of Christ. Because here's what happened. We've got this planet, we've got the so-called chemical scum on the surface of this moderate-sized planet. And at one point, there is a man, one of these human beings, who starts saying things that are very different. And he starts talking about God, and he starts talking about himself in a way that suggests that he has a connection to something beyond the natural world, that he has a connection to something that is supernatural, that is above, that transcends. He's healing people in ways that science can't repeat and explain. He puts himself in a position where he's executed. He has so challenged the cultural norms and the systems of power that he's executed, and then confounding what people's experience would be, what science would be able to tell or explain or repeat, he rose from the dead. And people looked at that and said, something different is going on here. Maybe what he's talking about, maybe what he's teaching, maybe this connection to something that's beyond natural, maybe there's something to this if he can prove that by rising from the dead. And this is the conclusion that those people came to. The Apostle Paul expresses it here. He says, Christ, this man, Jesus Christ, is the visible image of the invisible God. God intersected creation, his creation, in such a way that he gave us something to see, even though he's imperceivable by our natural senses. Christ is the visible image of the invisible God. He existed before anything was created and is supreme over all creation. For through him, God created everything in the heavenly realms and on earth. He made the things we can see and the things we can't see. And then Paul goes on to describe, what does he mean by the things we can't see? Is he talking like microscopic? No, he's talking beyond. He says, such as thrones, kingdoms, rulers, and authorities in the unseen world. He's talking about a spiritual realm, a reality beyond what nature can measure and observe and repeat. He says of Jesus, everything was created through him and for him. So I wouldn't argue, you know, I'm with Stephen Hawking on this. I wouldn't argue that the whole universe is here for humanity's benefit. I would argue that Christ is supreme and that the universe is an expression. It's something that was created through him and for him, an expression of God's glory and greatness. Jesus Christ is supreme, and within that universe and under his supremacy, we are important. Genesis chapter 1:27, God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female. He created them in the image of God, in the image of God. God, whose glory is expressed by the awesome universe, in his image, we were created. Now, that doesn't mean that we are God exactly. Jesus is. Jesus is God exactly. We are created in the impression of God, in God-likeness, not in God-equality. We are still the created, and he is still the creator. This is how David, the king, a man who's described as someone who's after God's own heart, put it in a song in Psalm 139, verse 13 and 14. He's saying this as a prayer to God. You, God, made all the delicate inner parts of my body and knit them together in my mother's womb. Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. Your workmanship is marvelous. How well I know it. So God's beauty and creativity, now, I love this. His beauty and creativity can be seen with a telescope. As we look beyond the earth, as we look at galaxies, as we look at the pictures that we get from our telescopes that we send out into space, it's absolutely enormous and beautiful and awe-inspiring. We can see God's glory with a telescope. And what King David points to us is we also see God's glory with a microscope. when we start to look at the details, the tiny, even subatomic particles and how they operate, it's amazing and awe-inspiring. God's glorious scene with a telescope and with a microscope. As we appreciate science, let that help us appreciate the Creator. He has done amazing things around us and within us. The Apostle Paul put it this way in Ephesians chapter 2:10. He said, "For we are God's masterpiece." I just want to hear people in the room and you who are watching at home, I want us to say that out loud. If you look at somebody who's in the room with you, or if you imagine yourself looking in a mirror, however you do it, I want to hear you say, "We are God's masterpiece." Let's say that together. We are God's masterpiece. We are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things He planned for us long ago. Even though we look at ourselves and we see the things that are wrong with us, and we see the mistakes that we've made and the problems that we've gotten into, the sin that entangles us and that keeps us from doing what we know is right, and we continue to do the things that we know are wrong, and sometimes we start to cut ourselves down. And what the Apostle Paul says is, no, you are God's masterpiece, and you are created anew. All of that old stuff has been nailed to the cross. Jesus let himself be executed because that is the penalty you deserved for how you have rebelled against your Creator God. And God said, "I love you too much to leave you like that. My son is going to take the death penalty for you and give you a renewal. You are God's masterpiece, created anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things he planned for us long ago." You are a masterpiece. You are given a new life in Jesus Christ. And you have a purpose, a plan. God has things in mind for you. He's not coming up with it as he goes. He had it planned. He knew you would be here. And you are a masterpiece. I need us to lock that truth in. Again, as I think about the young people in here, you're going to get different messages. Sometimes they're going to be explicit, direct messages. Somebody's going to tell you, "You're stupid." Somebody's going to tell you, "You're not good enough." You're going to be the last person picked on the team, or you're not going to be allowed to play, or somebody's going to laugh at what you're wearing, and you're going to feel worthless. You're going to feel devalued. I need you to know that is not the truth about you. The truth about you is you are God's masterpiece. You are God's masterpiece. I need you to lock that in. Now, are there going to be times where I do things that look stupid? Yeah. Are there going to be times that I act foolishly? Yeah, but that doesn't mean that I am in my identity stupid or foolish or worthless. My identity is set and secure, and so is yours. Don't let anybody tell you otherwise. Now, this also needs to inform how we talk to other people. Here's a challenge. Last week, I talked about how nobody would ever say anything bad about my friend Kathy because she's so nice. And then I saw Kathy. We had a blood drive here this week. And by the way, thank you everyone who came to the blood drive, and not just people who came to the blood drive, because some of you are wisely staying home at this point. You're not going to be around people. We also had people donate some money to help a family in the area if you couldn't get out of your house. And we had people who were praying over the weekend for God's will to be done, for him to be glorified in our community, wherever you are, however you are contributing and being a part of the body of Christ and what he's doing, thank you. So we were here in this room at the blood drive, and I said, Kathy, did you see the message? Did you hear that I talked about you? And she said, yeah. And I said, yeah, nobody would say anything bad about Kathy. She said, tell that to my kids. Right? Because oftentimes in our own family is where things get the ugliest. We tend to be the meanest to the people who we know are the least likely to leave us. Now, that's unfortunate. Jesus has some things to say about how we talk to other people. So how strong, how serious is he about this? In Matthew chapter 5, verses 21 and 22, he's teaching about the law, about the rules, about the Old Testament law, and he's reinterpreting because, I mean, he's God. So we need to listen to his interpretation. He said, you have heard that the ancients were told, you shall not commit murder. We know that's one of the Ten Commandments. Don't kill anyone. That's simple. And whoever commits murder shall be liable to the court. Jesus says, but I say to you, how's he going to argue with the law about not murdering, right? And he says, but I say to you that everyone who is angry with his brother shall be guilty before the court. And whoever says to his brother, you good for nothing, shall be guilty before the Supreme Court. So if you feel anger in your heart towards someone close to you, that's a problem. If you express that in words, that's a big problem. And whoever says, you fool, shall be guilty enough to go into the fiery, and I don't even want to say the next word, because I don't mean we got kids here, and it's the H word, right? It's Jesus, though. So if he says it, I'm going to say it. This is how serious he was. He said, whoever says you fool shall be guilty enough to go into the fiery hell. So I'm looking now at my daughter who is saying something to my wife with my son in between them. And I'm not sure what kind of family interaction is going on here, but I imagine it has something to do with how my son and daughter treat each other at home. Now, this is very serious. Jesus is very serious about this. Now, thank God that he's given us a way to be forgiven, because who hasn't said to someone something like, you fool, you idiot, you dummy, way, way worse stuff? We do that. And Jesus is trying to tell us that's a serious crime. You are letting anger inside of you turn into something that curses God's masterpiece. And that's serious. Now, thank God that we can go to him for forgiveness. Thank God that he gives us instructions about how to repair relationships. We don't have to be doomed and cursed to be separated from him forever in hell when we go to him and say, I can't, I know, I have sinned. Have mercy on me, forgive me. I receive the forgiveness that Jesus Christ bought with his death on the cross and the new life that he gives through his resurrection. I receive that, God. I need that from you. If you haven't done that, then you need to do that today. You need to have that conversation with God. You need to let that conviction happen that, yes, you deserve separation from God. You deserve hell. And yet he loves you so much that he doesn't leave you doomed to that. So Jesus Christ is supreme. And he said it's important that we treat other people well. We are valuable to God, and so are they. You are his masterpiece, and so is your worst enemy. Jesus said, you've heard that you should love your neighbor and hate your enemy, but I tell you, love your enemy, pray for those who persecute you. We have to value people created in the image of God, and that's all people. James says it this way in James chapter 3, starting in verse 7. He said, people can tame all kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and fish. I don't know about taming a fish. I know we can cage them, but I never done that. I just, you know, fish saddle is what I think of. Like, you know, a fish on a leash. I'm not sure how that works, but it's in Scripture. I mean, James has it figured out. But I think what maybe was getting back to is what we talked about last week, where we're to have dominion, where we're to be representatives of God and take good care of creation. So then he says, but no one can tame the tongue, the words that we use. It's restless and evil, full of deadly poison. Sometimes it praises our Lord and Father, and sometimes it curses those who have been made in the image of God. And so blessing and cursing come pouring out of the same mouth? Surely, my brothers and sisters, this is not right. James is just reinforcing what Jesus said. We are not to be cursing people made in the image of God. The greatest command is love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And the second is equally important, love your neighbor as yourself. You don't do one without the other. So as we think about people around us, which of those people can we curse? I know I've already said the answer, but think about it. Our siblings, our parents, our government authorities, our enemies, different ethnicities or skin colors, people with different abilities, different tastes, different struggles than we have? No. We cannot curse. It's not our role to curse or to hate or to dehumanize anyone. Human beings are equal in dignity, in value, and in worth. So who am I? I am someone under the supremacy of Christ. I am created in the image of God. The supremacy of Christ, it's so massive, and I'm so tiny, and yet I'm a valuable part of this universe that it displays God's awesome glory. I am the brother and neighbor to billions of image bearers who I am called to love. Now, there are reasons to get angry. There are fights that are worth getting into. The Apostle Paul has something to say about that, and I'm going to close with this. Ephesians chapter 6, starting in verse 10. A final word, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on all of God's armor so that you will be able to stand firm against the strategies of the devil. There is a force at work, a spiritual force at work against us to try to undercut the glory of God. Now he will ultimately fail. He will drag anyone with him that he can. And he is strategic about it. Verse 12, for we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies. I'm going to say that again. We are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities in the unseen world. There's that spiritual realm again, against mighty powers in this dark world and against evil spirits in the heavenly places. So what we learn from Scripture, written down by the Apostle Paul, but inspired by the Holy Spirit, by God himself, is that if something has flesh and blood, it is not your enemy. So our fight is not against bullies. It's against the corrupted spiritual powers that are behind bullying. Does that make sense? So our enemy is not racists. Our enemy is against the corrupted spiritual powers that are behind racism. And when we understand that that is our battle, we understand that people are not our enemy. People are created in the image of God. People are corrupted by the real enemy, corrupted by the devil, pulled astray, and our role, our responsibility is to love them, to pray for them. And when we know that, it's so empowering, because when you see a fight that is worth fighting, you don't have to wait till you get there. You can start fighting right now by calling on Almighty God, by praying about the situation, by praying for God's intervention, by praying against the devil's strategy. You can enter into the fight here and now. You are created in the image of God with glorious, wonderful purposes, and one of those purposes is to join Jesus Christ in his mission to destroy the works of the devil. This would be a great time for an amen. Okay, all right. Let's close with that and let's pray. God, as we consider who we are and we see the truth in Scripture that we are created in the image of God, that we are created in your image for good works, I pray, God, that you would illuminate us, that you would show us those good works that you have for us, that you would strip away the distractions. God, that you would silence the voices that tell us otherwise, and that we would hear the voice of the Good Shepherd Jesus, who knows us by name. And God, give us the faith and the strength to hear his voice and to follow where he leads, knowing that we are your masterpiece, and that where you lead is the best way for us to go. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you guys for tuning in. Thank you for being here today. If you're not liking and following our Facebook page, start doing that, because things are going to continue to happen, and we want to make sure that you are a part of it. Go in peace.